You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The Shabbos is Parshas Truma, all about building the Mishkan. The Gemara Megillah has a brisa that all religious articles are divided into two categories. Some of them are labeled Tashmishei Mitzvah, and some are labeled as Tashmishei Kedusha. You have a shofar, a talis, Dalad Minim. These are Tashmishei Mitzvah, and we learn out from our pasuk that this Zman HaMitzvah, the article is hooked for the mitzvah, so you're not allowed to be mabatlet the mitzvah, so you're not allowed to use it for secular purposes. But after this Zman HaMitzvah is up, it no longer has Kedusha. The Esrig is also about Hila on Sukkos, and the Hodos, you're not allowed to smell on Sukkos, hooked for the mitzvah so for its main purpose, what it's meant for. But after the Yom Tov is over, thus you plan to save it for next year. But if you don't plan to save the Esrig for next year, the Zman HaMitzvah is up. The talus goes bana, I'm going to use the talus as hooked to the mitzvah, so you're not allowed to use it for secular purposes. Let's say I have an old talus and I buy myself a new talus. I want to donate the old one to the shul, and the gabbai doesn't want it because it's old and worn out, and the poor man in the neighborhood doesn't want it either. Nobody wants it. So the Zman HaMitzvah is up. So the hook to the mitzvah is over. Same thing to shul. Rabban is of the opinion that a shul has kedushas beis haknesses. It's a Tashmishei Mitzvah. The shul is a physical object that helps you daven better. You can daven without a shul, but it helps you daven better. So it's like a lulav. So it calls mana that people still use the shul for the purpose of davening. So it's still hooked to the mitzvah. So after all the Jews move away from the neighborhood, so the Ramban thinks that Mikra, and then the Kedusha, the Raisa is on. Then it's the rest is only the Rabban. The Zayit will be here, but my Ben Anshei Weir, the seven members of the board, the days of the Gemara, the board of directors used to have seven members. So the Zayit will be here, have the right to sell the shul that it should be Yotze L'chulin, and then the money is Nitzvah Spiklush like Pidyon Hegdash. That whole part is Midi Rabban, and the Rabban says, third, the Dinah is 1,200 people daven there. It has Kedusha as Tashmishei Mitzvah because it enables you to daven better. You can daven without it, but it helps you daven better. And after everybody moves away, Mikra Adin Deraisa, the Kedusha disappears. And then you have some things that are called Tashmishei Kedusha. So if you throw it for one of mezuzah, have Kedusha. So then the Gemara says, even after the Sefer Torah became so possible, or the Tulim became so muscle, it's not trying to fix it. It's burnt, whatever. You can't restore it. Still, the din is Tashmishei Kedusha on the Gnosim. You have to put it in the Shemus. How did the Tanoim decide which religious articles are Tashmishei Mitzvah, which are Tashmishei Kedusha, the Ramban, and the Melchamas, and then the Moitotin? The third parak Moitotin has all dinim of Avelos. So the Ramban at the end of the third parak and Moitotin and the Melchamas talks about the minig of burying people with a talus. So he quotes a machlokes al Tanoim from Ovo Rabbosi, and the Gemara it's never quoted. Ovo Rabbosi has. And the Ramban interprets that it's a machlokes satanoi, whether a talus is Tashmishei Mitzvah, Tashmishei Kedusha. In the Bavli, we don't have such a machlokes. In the Gemara Bavli, in the Braisa Megillah, the Gemara presents no machlokes. Everybody agrees that a talus is a Tashmishei Mitzvah, not a Tashmishei Kedusha. So what? That's the question. How did the Tanoim know what was the criteria to determine whether any given religious article is considered a Tashmishei Mitzvah or a Tashmishei Kedusha? So Rabbi Balozhiner wrote a sefer called Nefesh HaChaim. It was printed after he passed away. His son, Rabbi Tzalev Balozhiner, took over the yeshiva. He gave the name Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh means a matzeva. This should be a matzeva for his father. This should be a zikaron for his father, Rabbi Balozhiner. He wrote the whole sefer. So in the sefer, he writes a lot of things, but a lot of different issues. So one of the things he writes is, how did the Tanaim decide what's Tashmishei Mitzvah, what's Tashmishei Kedusha? Says it depends. Whatever has psukim from Tanakh, that has Kedusha. The source of all Kedusha is Tanakh, because the Tanakh is Chochmas Hashem, and it's a description of Elokus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all Kedusha. The Tanakh is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what that's Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner says. And we assume to the extent that you have psukim written, to that extent you have Kedusha. So the mezuzah only has Shema Ba'al Yoyim Shamaya, so it has a status of Kedusha. The tefillin have in addition to Shema Bayam Shema, has Kadesh Vayokim Yachal. So because it has four parshas instead of only two, the tefillin have more kedushin. The Gemara holds, the Gemara says that the tefillin shal Rosh have slightly higher level of kedusha than the tefillin shal Yad. That's because the tefillin shal Rosh has a shin on the bais on the outside, an extra letter, one letter more. One person knows how to learn better than the other, so the one who has one letter more of learning has a higher level of kedusha. We usually put two shins on the shal Rosh. The Gemara never talks about two. The Gemara talks about a shin shal Rosh, shin. The Gemara has a din, you're permitted to convert the Shal Yad into a Shal Rosh, but you're not permitted to convert a Shal Rosh into a Shal Yad because of the rule. Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marit, you're not permitted to lower the level of Kedusha. The Gemara has a Machlokes in the Edna Megillah, which has a higher level of Kedusha, based on Knesset or based on Medrash. So we paskin, the Gemara paskins, Machlokes of Yesan and Reb Shua Belevi. Well, usually we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan Neged whenever he disagrees with one of his contemporaries. Rabbi Yochanan Halachis Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan Mishlokish the din is always like Rabbi Yochanan, except for the three cases that the Gemara lists off in Yevamos and Daf Lamed Vav. Whenever Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with one of his contemporaries, we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, except for Rabbi Shua Belevi. That's what they said because the Gemara in the end of Megillah. As the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shua Belevi, which has a higher level of Kedusha, the Beis HaMedrash or the Beis HaKnesses, and then without arguing out the case, the Gemara says, well, we accept Rabbi Shua Belevi's opinion. Or just takes it for granted that that's the din. So it seems that they always pass on like Rabbi Shua Belevi against Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? Which one has a higher level of Kedusha? And what the difference is? I permitted to convert the Beis HaMedrash into a Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaKnesses into a Beis HaMedrash because the din is Balam HaKodesh V'lo Marit. So the Gemara says, "Baloch HaLamaisa," you are permitted, the community is permitted to convert a shul to make it into a yeshiva, but to change the yeshiva to make it into a shul, that's called Marit. That's called a lower level of Kedusha that you're not allowed to do. So that's what the same thing about the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh. The Shal Rosh has slightly more Kedusha than the Shal Yad. And the Sefer Torah has not only the Dalet Parsha, Shema Bal Yam Shema Kadesh Yoke V'Yachla, as many, many more Parshas. So the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than the Tefillin, which in turn have more Kedusha than the Mezuzah. Rambam is Mashma very kemat explicitly in the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah, that if we will find the Luchos, the Aseres HaDibros, that was written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzavi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam engraved them. The Luchos Rishonis are Luchos Ma'aseh L'kiyum Heima, Ba'mitzvah Mitzvah L'kiyum. The Luchos Rishonis were not stone. Shnei Luchos Eved. It wasn't stone from Olam Hazeh. It was Mitachas Kisi HaKovet. Luchos Ma'aseh L'kiyum Heima is Ruch Nizdik HaMaterial. Ba'mitzvah Mitzvah L'kiyum. This Luchos Shnias, Moshe Rabbeinu, had a Psalachos Neiluchos Adim Karishanim, and he had to schlep it up, that's a Moilam Azeh stone, he had to schlep it up to the top of Har Sinai. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved it. So the Luchos, we have the Luchos Shnias. So the Luchos Shnias worked Sab Yad Kotshoi of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvod Dovi Yad Smok. And the Ramam is Mashba Beferish in the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah. That is a Sefer Torah that's written by plain human being. Shas Tov Shin Pei Gimel has a higher level of Kedusha than the Luchas. The Luchas are priceless because it's Ksav Yad HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as far as the level of Kedusha, Sefer Torah has the Aseres HaDibros plus more. So therefore the Sefer Torah has a higher level of Kedusha. The level of Kedusha is determined by how many psukim you have. So Rav Soloveitchik elaborated once on this theme. He gave it once a Yotzei Drosh on this topic. So he said, let's say Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha Sa'oretz. Why does Eretz Yisrael have Kedusha? There are psukim engraved on the trees. There are psukim on the ground. Where are the psukim there? So he said, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael the first time around was created by the kibush. So he said, who made the kibush? When he used to give a shir, a public talk, when in the shir, and to the students, he didn't act like this. But in the public talk, he used to get them engaged all the time. So he said, who conquered Eretz Yisrael? Who made the kibush? Everybody screamed out, Yeshua ben Nun's army. So he said, no, it says in the Sefer Yeshua. So Aron HaBris says, Aron HaBris naseh lifneihem. They were the Aron HaBris was going in front of the soldiers. It was knocking down all the enemies. So the Kibush Eretz Yisrael was accomplished with the fact that the Aron HaBris had the Luchas, had the Luchas Rishonis, the Shebri Luchas said. That's what the Gemara said. There were two Aronites, the Aron that has the Luchas in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then the Aron had the Shebri Luchas, the Aron is like. So the Shebri Luchas, that's the Shebri Luchas, that has Seres HaDibis written on it, engraved on it. That's what accomplished the Kibush the first time. So the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, was accomplished. Torah Shebesav. Shaila was, we pass in the Halacha that the Kedusha Bishoyin of Eretz Yisrael was Batla at the time of Churim Bais Rishon. So after the 7 years of Golas Bavel, Ezra Nechemi came back and had to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael all over again. Then there was no Kibush. There was no Kibush until the days of the Hashmaron. There was no independent Jewish government. They were under Shiltan Paros and Madai. The country was run by the Goyish kings. So what was the Mikdash the second time around? There was no Kiddush in the beginning. So the Rambam writes a lot, and he said the Rambam writes the Kiddush of Yishayin because it was based on Kibush. That's why when the Babylonian armies took away the land from the Jewish people, the Kibush was undone, so the Kiddush vanished into thin air. But the Rambam says the Kedusha Shneir was not based on Kibush. There was no Kibush. There was no independent Jewish government. In the days of the Hashmonaim, were, I think, 204 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. That's the Gemara's calculation. And the Bayis Sheni was way before the Hashmonaim. So what was the Mekadosh the second time? So the Rambam writes a word, Chazokah. What do you mean, Chazokah? So this is Alma Meltzer. This we spoke about on different occasions. This is Alma Meltzer on this stood in his Sefer. Chazaka means Kinya Chazaka, that the Jews lost the ownership of Eretz Yisrael during the 7 years of Golas Babel. There's a din of Kibush Malchama that's in the sugya in Git, middle of Git. The Gemara talks about Kibush Malchama. Amun Amayav Teha Rubisichon. One country wages war against the other, whether Beheter or Beyitzer, even if it's Beyitzer. The country that wins the war acquires ownership of all of the people, all the property, all the land. The Karka, the Metalkum, that's an international din. Whether the Jews conquer from the Goyim, or the Goyim conquer from the Jews, or the Goyim conquer from the other God. Amon Rabti Haru B'Sichon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told B'nai Yisrael, they're not allowed to take anything from Amon Amor, but in the end they did take. And the answer is because Sichon waged war against Amon Amor. He took it, so the Jews took it from Sichon. So that's called Tiharu B'Sichon. Here they call it to launder, no? If you have Gigamba to Geld. So you launder it out. So over here, the land was laundered by Sichon. So when the Jews conquered Sichon, they got there with Amon Amor, but they didn't take it directly from Amon Amor. It took them from Sichon, that's okay. Because as it did, a Kibush Mochama. So this is all Meltzer assumes that the Jewish people lost the ownership of Eretz Yisrael during the 70 years of Golas Bavel, and they had to be coined back again by making a Kinyan Chazokah. I mentioned that when Rabbi Gorin was first the chief chaplain in the army, and then there was a Sinai campaign, a whole chunk of the history at that time. The Israeli government did not notify the French or the British about the fact that they're going to have a war in Sinai. They didn't tell them in advance, so they were very angry. After the Sinai campaign, they stopped supporting Israel. That's what some of the rabbanim point out. Britain and France used to be one of the great world powers. And after the Sinai campaign, they're nothing special. They lost their status as a world power. That's what some of the rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael say, that the Israeli government should not be afraid of America, what America is going to say. If America will stop supporting Eretz Yisrael, they'll also fall. They won't be a world power anymore. Okay. That's what some say. So Rabbi Gorin was the chief chaplain at the time. He was appointed as chief rabbi, but at that time he was the chief chaplain. After the Sinai campaign, he visited America. He was speaking all over in different places. The yeshiva was learning Sanhedrin then. And Rabbi Soloveitchik was giving shiur. So he wanted to give a shiur at the Rabbi Soloveitchik. So that was the first year I was in the shiur, so he gave a shiur. So he was assuming Ishtikal Torah, the shiur that he gave on Sanhedrin, he was assuming like Abis Zalman Malzah. He didn't say it explicitly, so he was assuming like that. that Chazaka, when the Rama says Chazaka, means Jews had to make a Kenya Chazaka to reacquire ownership of Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Soloveitchik was sitting in the back of the classroom, and he piped up in the middle. He said, he disagrees. He said, the Jews never lost the ownership of Eretz Yisrael. Chazanish writes like Rabbi Soloveitchik, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris. He made a bris with Avraham, with Yitzchak, the Yankov. The Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jews, and from the bris means that Eretz Yisrael is the one thing in the world that's not subject to Kibbush Mokamo. A bris means, Ramban HaChomish writes, a bris means a shvuah, and a shvuah means HaKol Panim, under all circumstances, even though there's an international din of Kibbush Mokamo, Jews never lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Goren didn't agree. Okay. Rabbi Shizama didn't agree. Chazanish says like that. Same thing. Because Bocha made a bris. Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say the Jews do not owe a debt of gratitude to the British for giving them Eretz Yisrael. In the First World War, they declared the Balfour Declaration that they're going to give Palestine to the Jews. Then they weren't giving. The Jews were pressuring the British. They kept on bombing hotels and bombing bridges until finally the British had no barriers, so they had to keep their promise. Promised they're going to give Palestine to the Jews. That was in 1948. They finally gave it to the Jews. The Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say in public, but he always used to speak for the Mizrahi. So he said, we don't owe a debt of gratitude to the British for giving them Eretz Yisrael. It never belonged to the British. It always belonged to the Jewish people. We never lost our ownership from the days of Avraham Avinu. Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people. We never lost our ownership. So that's the question. What does it mean, Chazaka? The Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the first time around was Kibush, so Kibush, and the Chalukah took 14 years. So after the 14th year, 7 years of Kibush and 7 years of Chalukah. Chalukah was the Gemara of the Kibush. The Gemara of the Kibush, Eretz Yisrael acquired the full Kedusha. But then the Kedusha was parked at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, because the Kibush was undone. But the Jewish people still owned Eretz Yisrael. What was Chazaka that it was Mekadosh anew? So that's a question. How do you translate the word chazok? So Soloveitchik thought that it means the Jews moved in. Chazok means like cheskes habatim. Jews moved into Eretz Yisrael. So he thought that maybe the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the second time around was they built the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Jews moved in around the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash spread out to the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Maybe that's when it means chazok, that they moved in. Maybe he made another suggestion. Maybe the Kedusha Shniya was due to the fact that right at the end of 7 years of Golas Bavel, Gemara had a tradition that the story of Purim occurred during the 7 years of Golas Bavel. The Goyish history books keep on going back and forth. Every 75 years or so, they change their mind whether the story of Purim was Bizman Baisheni or before Bizman Baisheni. But in the Gemara doesn't change. All the Agadatis in the Gemara said that the story of Purim occurred towards the end of the 7 years before. And Achashverosh said, he loves his wife, At Chatzia Malchus, whatever you want, At Chatzia Malchus, At Chatzia, I won't let you rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That's all the traditions in the Gemara were, that the story of Purim occurred towards the end of the 7 years of Golas Bavel. So on the occasion of the Nes Purim, the Gemara comments on the Pasuk Kima, we keep Lukima, Mashi keep Lukvar. There's another Kabbalah Satora. And the Medrash Tanchuma says, why was it need for another Kabbalah Satora? What was wrong with the first Kabbalah Satora? So the Gemara says that it was Kaf Aleim Har Kegigas. The first Kabbalah Satora was forced on the Jewish people. So the Medrash has Tesis Kash, Medrash Tanchuma. And Parshas Noach has Tesis Kash. What do you mean it was forced on them? They were over the door and they said, Nasim and Ishma. So why did the Muslim have to force it? So the Medrash Talfum has a long essay on Parshas Noach. They accepted Berots and they said, Nasim and Ishma, and the Torah Shebitzav. It doesn't seem to be so difficult to live up to what it says in the Torah Shebitzav. So they said, Nasim and Ishma. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said, wait a minute, but there's all Torah Shebalpeh. There's Mishnayos and Gemaras and Yerushalmis and Shulchan Aruch and Rambam and Mishnah Brurahs and Aruch HaShulchans and Pesachei Tshuveh, Darkei Tshuveh. So that they said, that's too much. That's where the Medrash Talfuma quotes the Psukim in Shir Hashirim. Azek Hamavis Abakoshi Kishol Kinorish Afer Rish Ve'esh Anayavisyo, describing the difficulty in learning and understanding Torah Shabbat Peh and observing the mitzvahs in accordance with the Torah Shabbat Peh. There's so many details, it's so complicated. So that's what they didn't want to accept Berotzen. So that, on the occasion of the Nes Purim, they accepted Berotzen and the Torah Shabbat Peh. Sarah Soloveitchik suggested that maybe that had to do with the Kabbalah Satora Shebal Peh on the occasion of the Nes Purim came of the Kippur. Maybe that's what enabled them with the Koyach of the Torah Shebal Peh. Maybe that's what enabled them to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around. And the Torah Shebichzab is a tangible thing. It's Osius written on cloth. So just like you can burn a Sefer Torah, so the Kedusha Rishonah of Eretz Yisrael lent itself to destruction. It could be Chorev. At the time of Chorin Bais Rishon, the Kibish was undone, so the whole Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was undone. Well, the Torah Shebichzab belongs to the world of ideas. You can't burn an idea. Can't destroy an idea. So maybe just like the Torah Shebal Peh doesn't lend itself to destruction, maybe that's the reason why the Kedusha Shnei of Eretz Yisrael was Loi Batla. Rambam distinguishes Kedusha Mishnah was Batla because it was Ayyidei Kibush. Kedusha Shnei was Loi Batla because it wasn't Ayyidei Kibush. Ayyidei Chazop, what's Chazop? But maybe it means Torah Shebal Peh doesn't lend itself to destruction. So again, so Rav Chaim Volozhiner thinks that the difference between Tashmish and Mitzvah and Tashmish and Kedusha, Tashmish and Mitzvah means where there's no Psukim. Tashmish and Kedusha means if you have a religious article that has Psukim from Tanakh on it. They have Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. So why does Eretz Yisrael have Kedusha? Well, you have Psukim engraved on the trees. You don't have Psukim engraved. In the Kaddish of Eretz Yisrael, the first time around, was the Kibush that was done by the Aron Abris, with the Luchas, with the Shivri Luchas in it. The Kaddish the second time around, perhaps, was the Kabbalah of the Torah Shebal Peh. Was the Nes Purim was right before, towards the end of the 7 years. So right before, maybe that was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the second time around. Why did the Jewish people have Kedusha? The Yom HaSoilam don't have Kedusha. Their bodies are Tashmishei Mitzvah. If they observe the Sheva Mitzvahs, but in Earth, so you have to show respect. There's a dinu kavod rabbis for Nochri also. But after that person dies, after the Nochri dies, he's not torn kvura. The mitzvah kvura is only on a Jewish body, not on a Nochri, because they're only Tashmish and mitzvah, b'zman mitzvah. After they die, say, after b'zman mitzvah. So you don't have to have kavod rabbis. But by Jewish people, there's a kedusha. The Tashmish and kedusha, even lachas man mitzvah, is nignosim. You have to show kavod rabbis even after the person is dead also. Yeah, why is that? Where do we have psukim written? What if you have a Jew who never learned the word? So the Gemara says there is no such thing. The Gemara says, and I got it, the Nida, that the Malach teaches every Jewish baby, the boys and the girls, call a Torah Kula before they're born. And when the baby's born, he doesn't remember. So the Gemara says, Malach slaps him and makes him forget everything. So why did he engage in this act of futility to teach him call a Torah Kula in advance if he's going to make him forget it later on? And isn't that a mean thing? To make them forget everything. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say on that. Apparently, when the malach makes the baby forget, he doesn't forget everything completely. Something does remain. It's a little bit Rishumanika, it does remain. Why does the malach do such a mean thing that he makes it forget? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, if you didn't work hard on it, easy come, easy go, then you're going to forget it anyway. So the malach does you a favor, he makes you forget it, so you'll be able to have your giyah b'amol l'shel Torah. And that'll be, you'll be able to remember it later. The Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Kedusha Yisrael, perhaps if you say Dvarim Shebikdusha, Kedusha means where you have Psukim of Tanakh. Maybe that's the meaning of that. I got it there. The Malach teaches every Jewish baby, call it Torah Kula. That's what entails every Jewish baby with the Kedusha. We say the Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha. Why is the Beis HaMikdash have Kedusha? Where you have Psukim written on the walls. So Rav Soloveitchik said, well, it's called Mishkan HaEdus because it houses the Luchos HaEdus. So since the whole center of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, what's the holiest part of the Beis HaKodesh HaKadoshim? Because he added the Aron HaBris with the Luchos HaEdus there. So maybe that's the essence of the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Ramban sounds on Chumash. Ramban says that the purpose of building a Beis HaMikdash, a Mishkan, is to house the Luchos. Shaila is during Bais Sheni, the Luchas were not there. At the end of Bais Rishon, it says in Sefer Divrei Hayomim in Tanakh, it says, Yoshio HaMelech was going as the Orim with the Luchas in the basement. It's very unclear in the Pasuk. Why did he do that? It's obvious that he wasn't afraid that the enemy was going to come and capture the Orim with the Luchas and walk off with it. The pasuk gives a different reason, nothing to do with the enemy. It's a little unclear. So the Netziv has an interpretation on the pasuk. And Divrei HaYomim, the Netziv says that Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes from the Tanoim, the last parsha in Parshas Yisro is about the Mizbach Adama Tassali, about building a Mizbeach. Then the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim is about having Bezdin. So what's the Svichas between the end of Parshas Yisro and the beginning of Mishpatim? It teaches you that Allah, you have to have Sanhedrin, Samach LeMizbeach. Sanhedrin has to be near the Mizbeach. What's the purpose of Sanhedrin, Samach LeMizbeach? So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash explains, Sanhedrin gives Piskei Halacha that are binding on all of Klal Yisrael. If anybody is going to pass against the Sanhedrin, Halachi of Misav, Zokhan Mamre. So the Sanhedrin has to, what do they do if they make a mistake? So on the books, theoretically, it could be they can make a mistake. It is an institution of Par Halam Zawishon Tzibur. If the Sanhedrin made a mistake regarding an Issa Goris, regarding eating Chametz on Pesach, eating on Yom Kippur, Chelev Adam, so Shabbos, and the Roif HaTzibur, 51% of the Jewish people who live in Eretz Yisrael violated an Issa Goris because of the mistake of Pesach, but there's not at all. Then instead of telling each and every individual person he has to bring a Korban Chatos, there's not at all brings the Par HaLadovish HaTzibur, and everybody gets a Kapparim. So on the books, officially, there is a possibility that the Bez Nagorod will pass Kane correctly, and the Roif HaTzibur will follow them, and they'll have to bring such a pile of those. Did it ever happen in the history of the world? I don't. Most likely not. The Gemara has in one place, maybe there was a problem, but the Pashtus is probably never happened. 71 biggest Talmid HaChacham of the Jewish people got together. The Pesach has to be unanimous Pesach. You got to get 71 Rabban, we're all going to make a mistake on this, of course. Far-fetched. And the Tzibur is going to listen to them. The Jewish people never listen to their. So you don't know. Roy Batzibur is going to listen to do an Avera. The whole story is very far-fetched. But on the books, the human beings can make mistakes. The Olam does make mistakes. The Baruch Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake in Halacha. And Aaron raised an objection. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're right, I made a mistake. It was Moshe that made a mistake. Human beings are fallible. You can make mistakes. So the Ramban HaChumash writes that the reason why the halacha requires Bez Nagoros should meet in the Lishkas HaGozes, in the Beis HaMikdash, Samach LeMizbeach, and Samach to the Aaron, that they should have a siyat to the Shmai, that they shouldn't make any mistake, because the Pesachim are binding on all of Klal Yisrael. So this was fine, because man, the Bez Nagoros was meeting in the Beis HaMikdash. But if you got to be in Golos, Batel, the Nevi'im were predicting it was going to be a Golos, it was going to be a Churban Beis HaMikdash, because the people were doing Averis. If they're going to go into Golos, they're going to have to develop a different style of learning, because they're not going to have this Siyai to the Shmaya, that everything comes so easily. They just sit and they discuss it, they come up with the right answer. So Yoshio HaMelech was guiding the Orem of the Luchas in the basement, that the Sanhedrin shouldn't have that divine assistance, shouldn't have that Siyai to the Shmaya. They come to a Maskana to Paskin correctly with ease, that they have to develop Pilpula Shalter, because that's going to be the new Baruch HaLimud that they're going to need when they're going to Golos. So that's how the Netziv interprets the Pesukim and Divrei HaYomim. That's what motivated Yoshua HaMelech to be going as the Luchas. Al Kol Parim, the Gemara says, towards the end of the Bais Rishon period, the Orem of the Luchas was not in the Kodesh Kadoshim. Where was it? It was in an underground vault in the Beis HaMikdash that was originally included in the blueprint for the Beis HaMikdash. God HaChoyzeh, God HaNavi, gave a Megillah B'Ksav to David HaMelech. David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, the Navi told him he's not permitted to. Dam Rab Shafasta, he killed a lot of Palestinian terrorists. They were Plishtim all over the place. He was killing a lot of terrorists. He protected the land, but because Dam Rab Shafasta, he wasn't permitted to build the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash says, when the Sati Shalom HaMokam HaZeh, Beis HaMikdash has to be HaMokam Shalom. So because David was a warrior, he wasn't allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Navi told him, you're going to have the son Shlomo, going to be peaceful during his lifetime, Shalom. And he's going to be the one who's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. He had to transmit in the Gila Bitzav about the blueprints of the Beis HaMikdash to his son Shlomo. And that Megillah Bitzav, that's a pasuk, Hakol Bitzav, the Arasham Alai Haskel, a pasuk, the Reyom. Everything was Bitzav in the blueprint. So included in that blueprint of what the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be like was that when the time comes, they should take the Oren Abris from the Kodesh HaKadoshim and put it in the underground vault. So that's what Yoshua HaMelech did. That was the end of the Bais Rishon period. Where was the Oren? Where were the Luchas during the Bais Sheni period? So the Mishnah doesn't say, the Mishnah just says it wasn't in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When the Kohen Gadol went in on Yom Kippur, once he had to do the Avodah, he has to Zorik the Dam, Ha'asal HaMayla, V'sheva L'mata. What do you mean L'mar L'mata? There is no Oren with the Kapiris. So he would do the Zvikas Adam as if there would have been an Oren. In the whole Bais Sheni period, for several centuries, all Bais Sheni period, he did the Avodah as if there would have been an Oren. That's what they quote from Rav Avel of Soloveitchik. That's included in the din that the Mokam HaMikdash, the Rambam's opinion is, the Mokam HaMikdash was Kitchel Osi Lover. And there's a Machlokes in the Gemara where the Kedusha Seretzov was Kitchel Osi Lover or not, and the Machlokes where the Kedusha HaMikdash was Kitchel Osi Lover. So the Rambam makes a compromise. So the Rambam says, Kedusha Rishayin of Eretz Yisrael was like Kitchel Losi Lover. Because the Kedusha was based on Kibush, and when the Babylonian armies undid the Kibush of the Jewish people, so the Kedusha vanished into thin air. Kedusha Shnei of Eretz Yisrael was not based on Kibush, it was based on Chazakah. That did not vanish into thin air. That's the question, what the word Chazakah mean? And the Rambam paskins la'alocha that the Kedusha HaMikdash was Kitchel Losi Lover. When Shlomo HaMelech built it, so the Kedusha remained. The quote from Rav Avel of Soloveitchik, not just the Mokam HaMikdash has Kedusha. Every spot in the Mokam HaMikdash, you have Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have Heichal, you have Ben Hula Malam Mizbeach, you have the Azora. Every part of the body of the Beis HaMikdash was Kidusha Losi Lavai to the same extent that it had the Kedusha when the Beis HaMikdash was there. So there's a special dinner, the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to stay in the front of the Oroid with the Kapuras on top of it. And it has to be Zorik the Dam in a certain way. And the Bais Sheni, towards the end of the Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, there was no whole Bais Sheni, there was no Oren. It's Kitchel Osi Lover that has the status there. The Kohen Gadol stood as the status of Lifnei HaOren, even though the Oren was not there. That's included in the din of Kitchel Osi Lover. So if you want to ascertain, why did the Beis HaMikdash have Kedusha? If a primologian says, all the Yoni Kedusha based on Sufim from Taraf, so the answer is that there was an Oren with Kaduchas there. That's why it has Kedusha. What about at the end of the Bais Rishon period? So the Oren with the Luchas was in the basement, as described in the blueprint that was given to David HaMelech by God HaKhoizer. David gave it to Shlomo HaMelech, HaKol B'Tzav Mi'Arash HaMelech Haskel. Question is, where was the Oren with the Luchas in Bais Sheni period? So the Gemara in Yuma on that Mishnah, and that Mishnah is known base or something, the Gemara in Daphne Gimel has different opinions in Tanoim, historical dispute. Where was the Oren with the Luchas? One opinion is that it's in Bavel, the Babylonian armies, just like the Churban Bais Sheni. So Titus took the menorah to Rome, on the arch of Rome, the arch of Titus. They have a description, they have the picture of the menorah. So too, one thought is of the opinion that the Babylonian armies took the Oren with the Luchas to the Bavel, the whole Bais Sheni period was in Bavel. Different opinions in the Tanaim. Sounds like a machloikis. Sounds like a historical machloikis. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Rambam takes a stand. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam takes a stand on this historical machloikis. The Rambam assumes that the Oren with the Luchas was in the basement, the whole Bais Sheni period, just like it was the end of the Bais Rishon. Yoshua HaMelech put it in the basement, in that chamber that was designated in the Megillah Bitzav, that's where it was all Bais Sheni. So Rav Soloveitchik wondered, why does the Rambam take a stand on historical machlokes and Mishnah Zol HaLochet? Why does he take a stand on the historical machlokes? He thought maybe the Rambam understood that it's a historical machlokes, but part of it is a halachic machlokes. Is it conceivable that you can have a Beis HaMikdash, don't have a Kedusha is based on Mikdash, without an Oren with the Luchas? The Ramban HaFumish writes the whole purpose of the Mishkan, the whole purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, is to have a structure to house the Luchas. That's why it's called Mishkan Ha'edus, because of the Luchas Ha'edus were there. So maybe in Baisheni, if there were no Luchas, the Luchas were not there with the Aseres Hadibros, maybe can't have, maybe the Rambam understood it can't have a Kedusha based on English. So the Rambam perhaps understood that included in the different opinions of the Talmud, say historical machlokes, but one Nekuda is halachic machlokes. Is it conceivable or inconceivable to have the Beis Hamikdash without Luchas? And the Rambam thought that is inconceivable, that every Tashbishi Kedusha has to have Psukim. So the Psukim and the Beis Hamikdash have to be the Luchas. So Leitchik thought that the Rambam seems to hold regarding Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. There's a big machlokes, the Ramban and the Ran in Maseches Megillah. The Gemara in the end of Megillah talks about Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, Perik B'nei Ho'ir. So the Ramban, the Ran on the Rid, has a long essay. He quotes the Ramban. The Ramban we just mentioned before. The Ramban, in a few places in his Kedusha, on the Gemara writes that Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is based on Tashmish and Mitzvah, not Tashmish and Kedusha, based on Tashmish and Mitzvah, that since the Beis HaKnesses helps you daven better, so it has Kedusha, it calls Ma'am Mitzvah, it calls Ma'am as Emid Litfilah. And once all the Jews move out of the neighborhood and no one's going to, by the Reform synagogues, and the Reform conservative, they'll drive back for the high holidays. So it's not a problem. By the Orthodox, once they move out of the neighborhood, so they can't come back for the high holidays. So no one's there anymore. So the Ramban thinks that Min HaTorah, the whole Kedusha disappears. So the, and it's only the Rabbanon, and it still has Kedusha, even after all the Jewish people moved away. And then you have to sell it. It's Ayatollah Yehuda, Maimon HaShemir. Sell it, they point to the Kedusha, that's all, that whole story is all with the Rabbanon. So the Ran quotes the Ramban, and he disagrees. He says the Gemara, in the end of Megillah, comments on the Pasuk in Yecheskel. Yecheskel HaNavi was one of the Nevi'im who was saying the Nevu'ah in advance that the Beis Rishon is going to be destroyed because the people are sitting. It's going to be, the Jews are going to be sent into Golas Bavel. And even though they won't have a Beis HaMikdash there, I'll have a miniature Beis HaMikdash. And Gemara says, what is that a reference to? Ela Batim, and the Seas of Batim. And Rasha is Shevet Bavel. All the shuls in Bavel are a miniature Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, if you read the Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah, he talks about Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, you get the impression, it's not explicit, you get the impression that if you have a Makom Miyuchad for Tefillah, but it doesn't have a Sefer Torah, it doesn't have a din of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. They didn't always have in the days of Gemara, they didn't always have the Aron Kodesh with the Sefer Torah in the shul where they daven. They used to have it sometimes in the basement, in a different room in the building. But they had in the same building, they had an Aron Kodesh with the Sefer Torah. So they actually thought that the Rambam seems to say that if you have a Beis HaMikdash without the Aron with the Luchas, it doesn't have a Dinah Beis HaMikdash. That the Machlokes HaTanaim there in Yom Adav and Gimel wasn't only a historical Machlokes, it was a little bit of Halacha involved. Is it conceivable that you can have a Beis HaMikdash without Aron with Luchas? And the Rambam Paskin, no, it's inconceivable. So the same is regarding a Beis HaKnesses. It doesn't have Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses unless you have a Sefer Torah. A lot of times religious people rent office space in Manhattan and then they designate one room that's the room to daven and they have Mincha Maariv Minyan there. But they don't have a Sefer Torah. So when it's a tiny tzibah, but they have to go to a shul to hear Kriyas HaTorah. They don't have a Sefer Torah. That was a Leitchik Kota from the Rambam, would appear that it wouldn't have a Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. Whenever you want to have Tashmishi Kedusha, you have to have Psukim. Sefer Torah, Tefillah, and Mezuzah, Tashmishi Kedusha, Eretz Yisrael, you have Psukim. The Mikdash was the Kibush that was done by the Aron HaBris. Maybe the Kedusha Shnia of Eretz Yisrael was by the fact that the Jewish people accepted the Torah Shabbat Pet. Maybe that was the Mikdash. Maybe the Mikdash was, or let's say Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha, because you have the Aron with the Luchas there. Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha, because you have the Sefer Torah there. So maybe the rest of Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, Aide Chazaka, the Ramas, maybe Chazak means that the Kedusha is Beis HaMikdash spread out, because the Jews, the Beis Sheni, beginning of the Beis Sheni period, they built the Beis HaMikdash, and then they lived around on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. The Yishuv didn't begin from all around the Eretz. again from the Beis Hamikdash, maybe we should have Beis Hamikdash spread out. And we should Beis Hamikdash is based on the Reiter. That was his assumption. That all in Yoni Kedusha have to start from Sukkim. And the Kedusha he saw that every Jewish person has, because the Malach teaches Kol HaTorah Kulo. This was the drasha once at Yotzad Shir. There is a, we mentioned the Tosfos in Nozir and Daf Chav Gimel, draws a contrast between Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses and Kedusha's Beis HaMedrash. The Tosfos says Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses derives from the fact that there's a Sefer Torah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said on the Rambam. He had that impression on the Rambam. That's what Tosfos writes explicitly. Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, because there's a Sefer Torah in the Beis HaKnesses. No Sefer Torah, Tosfos seems to imply there wouldn't be any Kedusha. It would be Tashmishei Mitzvah, wouldn't be Tashmishei Kedusha. And Kedusha's Beis HaMedrash is higher. The Gemara had a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shmuel, which is a higher level of Kedusha. The Gemara paskens the end of Megillah Kedusha Beis HaMedrash. The Torah says Kedusha Beis HaMedrash stems from the fact that they learn Torah Shabbal Pede. Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses stems from the fact that you have Torah Shabbin Sabde, you have a Sefer Torah. Kedusha Beis HaMedrash stems from the fact that you have the Lima Torah Shabbal Pede. Maybe that's the way they understood the Machlokes, which is a higher level of Kedusha. The Gemara, the end of Megillah, doesn't say like that. Well, the Megillah has the Machlokes of Yechon and Meshubba, maybe, which has a higher level of Kedusha, Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash. The Gemara presents it at the Beis HaKnesses, Miuchad for Tefillah. Beis HaMedrash, it's Miuchad for learning. But Tosfos presents it differently. The Beis HaKnesses, they both have Kedusha that derives from Torah. All Kedusha has to, like Rav Chaim Volozhin, all Kedusha has to come from Torah. It doesn't come from Tefillah, it comes from Torah. But the Kedusha is Beis HaKnesses flows from the fact that you have the Sefer Torah, Torah Shabbat Sab. Beis HaMedrash flows from the fact that you have Torah Shabbat Ben. So maybe that is the Machloikas, which is higher. Kedusha's Torah Shabbat Ben, Kedusha's Torah Shabbat. We assume Kedusha's Torah Shabbat Ben is a higher level because the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah has a comment, Chaviv in Dibre Seifrim, Yoise Miyena Shal Torah. Mark to the Mishnah, quotes a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Ki Toivim Deidecha Miyoyin. Knesset Yisrael has a love affair with the Rebbeinu Shalom. Rebbeinu Shalom is the Chosin, when he saw that the Kala. So the Kala says, Ki Toivim Deidecha Miyoyin. I appreciate the love that you show me more than wine. What kind of a lotion is that? Toivim Deidecha Miyoyin.
What kind of wine?
Wine. Drinking wine. What does that have to do with love and wine? So the Mishnah interprets, Chaviv and Devei Seifim Yosef Miyena Shal Torah. It means the Pasuk, Yai means Yena Shal Torah, Torah Shebechsav. Deidecha means the love that Bnei Yisrael showed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the love HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us. The love Bnei Yisrael showed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we make Dinim Derabbanan. So what are Dinim Derabbanan all about? We demonstrate that we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do things that we know would make him happy, even though he didn't ask us to do it. How does a child demonstrate that he loves his parents? How does a person demonstrate that he loves his spouse? You do something to surprise them. You don't wait till they tell you 10 times, please take it out of the garbage. Please go shopping. Please pick this up at the drugstore or something. You know that that's what would make your spouse happy. You know, that would be, the parents would appreciate it. So you go and you do it before they ask you. So that's what the Jewish people do. We demonstrate our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu by volunteering Dinim Derabbanan. We know that that's the direction the Rebbeinu Shalom wants us to go. That's called Chavivim Divrei Seifrim Yosem Yehenu Shal Torah. That demonstrates that we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's called Deidecha. The Torah Shabbat Peh is called Deidecha because there's rabbinic input. The Chachamim developed the Torah Shabbat Peh. All the Dinim Derabbanan are part of the Torah Shabbat Peh and all the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh. All the drushes are man-made drushes. That is, when there's participation of Bnei Yisrael in developing the Torah, that's Chaviv and Debrei Seifim HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates those the Torah Shabbat Peh, and more so that he appreciates the fact that we observe the Torah Shabbat Peh. So it could be that that's what it means, that the Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses. Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, they says, rests on the fact that there's a Sefer Torah there, Torah Shebuchsav. And the Kedusha Beis HaMedrash, because there's Torah Shabbal Peh there. And the Torah Shabbal Peh is a higher level of Kedusha than the Torah Shebuchsav. The Meshech Chachma points out that Har Sinai, after Maimon Har Sinai was over, Shows me Kevin how you will hang me all the bar. When they saw one, they're allowed to climb up, and I seen it. They may me slow you fear. They may goes and Adam goes. They'll be five skill.
You are listening to Ben's Torah. You're
a circle, you circle. They're not allowed to go. The people are not allowed to go. And I seen it. But after my night, I seen it was over. I seen it has no Kedusha at all. But the Makam HaMikdash is Kid Shalos Alava. Why? Because I seen it, the Kedusha came in Hashemai. And based on Mikdash, was man-made Kedusha. Whenever people make the Kedusha, so it's going to be a more lasting nature, going to be a longer Kedusha. So that's perhaps why the Torah Shabbat Peh has a higher level of Kedusha than the Torah Shabbat Zayin. Maybe that explains why the Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses. Anyway, so that's how the Parsha begins, that the Rebbe Shalom wants us to make a Mishkan throughout all the generations, whenever it's possible. He wants us to make a Beis HaMikdash, and it's going to have a status of Kedusha because it's going to have the Aron HaBris, going to have the Dibrei Torah there. The Chotzer HaMishkan is described in the Parsha. It's 100 amas by 50 amas. So 100 amas orech, v'rochav chamishim. Then it says, v'rochav chamishim v'chamishim. What do you mean, rochav chamishim v'chamishim? It's not chamishim v'chamishim. Where is this? Chatzara Mishkan, next to the last pasuk in the Sedra. Orech ha-chatzar mea ba 100 amas long, v'rochav chamishim v'chamishim. It's not chamishim, it's chamishim. Not 50 by 50. So Rashi quotes from the Tanaim, they discuss it. So one interpretation is that the Chotzer in the Mishkan, the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, was 100 amas long. The first 50 by 50, Chamishim Chamishim, was empty. And the whole Mishkan, everything from the Mishkan, was in the back 50 by 50, wasn't in the front. It was Orech HaMeyov, V'Orech HaMishim, and Chamishim Chamishim was clear. There was nothing there in the first Chamishim. Maybe that's Pashup Shot. Then the Gemara, a convoluted Russia, that if he would have asked me, I would have said absolutely in Asmach. But Tosfos said that it's a Din Daraisa. Tosfos said it's a Din Daraisa. The Gemara says like this, Chamishim Chamishim means a square, 50 by 50. That means the Mishkan was 100 by 50. So how many square amas were there? 50 times amas, 5,000 square amas. 50 by 100, 5,000. When you take 5,000 square amas and you make that into a square, how much is that going to be? What's the square root of 5,000? So the Gemara says, Shiva Mama Vishirai, 70 and 250, so something like that. So 70 and change. So what's the significance? No significance for the Mishkan. But it's a significance if you have a city. So what's the definition of a city? By nafka minan, what's the difference? What's the definition of a city? So for Mikra Megillah, makes a difference. People who live in a city have to read the Megillah on Yud Dalet. If you live in Ayaris, I'm a Kavos Chomer, you read the Megillah on Shushan Purim. If you live in a kfarim, they didn't live in a city. Doesn't have a din a kfar. Doesn't have a din over there. So they had bisman bayisheni. They had a kula. Bisman amikdash. They had a kula. They could lay in the Megillah the sheni of a chamishi prior to Purim. If Purim didn't fall out on a Monday or Thursday, so the tanaim were mekel. That was part of the original takara. The Gemara said they were mekel. They can lay in the Megillah the sheni of a chamishi before. So how do you determine whether any given area is considered an ear or a kfar? What's al pidin an ear? So the Ravid writes on the Rambam, Hilchos Megillah, Mikra Megillah, he quotes a Gemara Sanhedrin, the end of the first tier. How much of a population do you need in a city that should be able to become an ear hadidachas? Let's say you have a tiny little village. You have in Gansan, 25 people live in the village. So the Gemara says that can't become an ear nidachas. In order to be called an ear, you have to have a minimum population of 100 people. 100 people, if it's too big, then it's called a krach. Then it's a metropolis, and you don't burn down the whole city. So the Gemara darshins the dinam of ear nidachas. You burn down all the houses in the city. And instead of giving skila for avodah zarah, you give them sayif, and you burn all the property, even burn the property of the tzaddikim. who didn't worship Abed Azar because they don't belong in such a city. If Rova, the people in the city are worshiping Abed Azar, Tadik Mishudin Limbeh. So the Gemara says, in order to have a din of Irani Da, has to have a din of in here, has to have a minimum population, but it has to have a maximum. If it has too many people living in the city, it's called the metropolis, then you don't burn down the whole city. But what's the minimum? The minimum is 100. So the Rabbi writes, it's not only a local din in Hilchas Irani Dachas, it's relevant to the din, the Rabbanon of Purim, that the Bnei HaKfarim could be Magdimim, the Maknisa, they can be Zmar HaBayis. They had that kula. Gemara says on the first half of Megillah, after the Churban HaBayis, you no longer have that kula to be permitted to read the Megillah. If you live in a Kfar, to read the Megillah Monday or Thursday before, because they didn't have instant communication. Days of the time. Today, you put it on the internet, put it on the radio, on television, on the newspaper, everybody will know when Purim is, when Pesach is. They didn't have that. So they said, if the people are going to celebrate Purim Monday or Thursday before the real Purim, they're going to think that Pesach is a month afterwards. They're going to get confused on Pesach. Gemara says, it's not a smart idea if the Churban Bayis. Now, there's nothing to be concerned about, but still, that's Gemara says, they abolished it, did away with the din of Yom HaKnis. So the Rabbi says that's a definition of the year on the level of the rice. It's relevant for all of the in the rice of year. It's a Ori Mikla. There were six Ori Mikla. So that one who kills Bishagi has to run to the Ori Mikla. Goel Adam only has a right to kill him if he leaves that, not leave to kill him. Machleg is Hatanam. We pass from Goel Adam, it's a Rishus. They had Goel Adam to kill the Red Seaf Bishagi, one who killed his father. So he only has a right to kill him if he's good to the Ori Mikla. And what if he's Tos Hatrum of the Ori Mikla? You don't have the right to kill him. Even if your Truman is the Rabbanan on Shabbos, there's a Machloek Satanayim, where the Truman is the Raisa, the Rabbanan. Rabbi Kiba holds Truman Alpai Mama is 1 mil. Alpai Mama is the Raisa. So that, the Gemara said, we don't pass on like that. The Rambam and the Riv quote the Yerushalmi that Truman Yud based mil is the Raisa. Alpai Mama is 1 mil. The go Yud based mil, that's the Raisa. And Taishinus holds that it's never mentioned in the Badli, so that's Machloek and Shulchan Aruch. Faber follows the Rambam and the Rif, the Chumad Yud Beis Milah is the Raisa, and the Tosfos holds that. So the Rambam follows the Tosfos that Chumad is all the Rabban. Even if your Chumad is the Rabban, but the idea of Chumad here, Alpai Mama, that's a din the Raisa, but again, the Goel Adam. If the Ritzeach ran to the Ori Miklot, Kozman is in the city limits, the Goel Adam has no right to kill. So you have to figure out what are the city limits. What's the Chatrum? The Gochutz of Trum on Shabbos may be the Rabbanim, but still it's relevant. What's Trum? What's the Trum? And again, the Goel Adams did it. So you have to have a minimum. You have to have a minimum population. Then the Gemara says it has to be a certain configuration. You have to have. This is a Mishnah Erevin and it's a Mishnah Erechin. Both Mishnah Erevin and it's talking about Ayoris Hamakavus Kamen Mimosas Shur Benun. That's a guy has a house and he builds a wall around his house from the days of Yeshua Benun. So that doesn't have a din of ayoris amukavskam. One person build a wall around the house. That's not called, has to be ayoris. An ear amukavskam moishishu. What's the definition of an ear? So you have to have a minimum population of 100 people. Let's say you have a motel in the airport. Every airport has a whole bunch of motels. At any given time, you have more than 100 people staying at all the motels, but they're only there temporarily. So you have to have 100 people who live there kavua. What's called kavua? So that the Gemara in Bava Basra, we learn Bava Basra. So Gemara in Bava Basra has sometimes there's a din if you live there 30 days, and sometimes the din depends on living there. Yud Beis Chavi. So that's the question over here: how long did 100 people have to live in the city that should be called kavua? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes on Poskim 6 months. That's a bella. 6 months should be either 30 days or 12 months. You never find 6 months. He said because they used to rent the Rishonim say. Because it was common practice to rent an apartment for half a year. What does that have to do with the Gemara? Has halacha should be that. So that's a question. You have to have a minimum population of 100 people have to live there, kavua, however you figure out what's called kavua. Then the Gemara has to have a specific, the Mishnah is that you have to have a specific configuration. You have to have gimel chatzeres. What's a chatzer? A chatzer means an area that's mukav chayma, has a wall around it, and has at least two batim. Reuben's house and Shimon's house, and then they share a chatzah together. There aren't too many chatzeres around there. Let's say in an apartment building. An apartment building, so you have a few apartments on one floor, then you have the hallway that's used by everybody. So that's a question that the Ramah says that Bismanaza ain't on a din chotze Bismanaza, because Bidavila don't use it, just carry your, when you go shopping, you walk in the hallways, but you never use the hallways for anything. So is that called a chotze? That's a question. So Tosis raises a question in Erevin, how close did the Gimel Chatzeres have to be? Let's say there's one chotzer in New York, one chotzer in Minneapolis, and one chotzer in Los Angeles. So that makes the whole United States into one big year. No, they're 1,000 miles apart from each other. So how close did the Gimel Chatzeres have to be? They have to be contiguous, touching each other, not mistaber. It never says in the Gemara. So what's the shear? How close did the Chatzeres have to be? The Tosis says they think that this is a din d'oraisa. This, if you take 100 by 50, so you have 5,000 square amas, you make a square out of it instead of having a rectangle, twice as long as it is wide. If you make the square out of it, so what'll be the bar on each side? The square root of 5,000. So the square root of 5,000 is shivim amas v'shiraim, 72/5, I think, something like that. So the Gemara says that's the shear. If you have, the Gemara talks, if you have Gimel Chatzeres all touching each other, then you have batim, batim, batim going out in different directions. If every house is within 70 amas to the house that's preceding it, so the city limits extend. The city limits keep on going further. That's called Iburish Alir. You're making the city bigger, like an Ishan Muberis, like a pregnant woman. Make the city bigger, longer, because you keep on building houses. The city keeps on expanding. So the houses have to be within Shivim Amah V'Shiraim to each other. So Tosha thinks that this is also a din d'oraisa. The Gimel Chatzeres have to be within Shivim Amah V'Shiraim to each other. A din d'oraisa, when you get to the definition of an ear, it's learned out from this passage by the Mishkan. So I would have said for sure, it's an Aspastam of the Rabban. Chamishim Chamishim, also Chamishim Chamishim means you take 50 times 100 is 5,000, they take the square root. Such a whole tilpul. So Tosfos said that's a din d'oraisa. That's the mocker. The Gemara says that. That's the mocker for the din of Shivim Amah V'Shiraim. But Tosfos said that it's a din d'oraisa, not just a din d'rabban. The Gemara has another din that you learn out from here. There's a din d'rabban on the carpet. On Shabbat, there's a Rishus HaYochid and there's a Rishus HaRabim. And everything that's not a Rishus HaYochid is not a Rishus HaRabim. And our Torah is all makom tur. Everything else is makom tur. So, with the Rabbana, they declared many of what we call a makom tur in our Torah is considered a karmelis with the Rabbana. And some of them, they remained, they left it as a makom tur. So, a karmelis, you're not allowed to carry with the Rabbana. Not allowed to carry more than Dalai Lama's than a karmelis with the Rabbana. So, then the Gemara has, there's another kind of a karmelis. If you have a Rishus HaYochid, that's mukav mechitzis, that's a Rishus HaYochid in our Torah. But nobody lives there. Nobody sleeps there. Nobody eats there. It's Karpav Yosem Beis Asaim Shalahu Kafledira. Nobody has a Beis Dira over there, and it doesn't open up. No one's house opens up into it. Let's say you have a house, then you have a backyard. So the people live in the house. So the backyard is called Hu Kafledira. You can go from the backyard into the doorway, entering into the house. So the front yard, you open up into the house. That's a Beis Dira. So the front yard has a fence around it, so that's mukaf l'dira. What if you have an area mukaf mechitza? So minatarot zirushis hayachid, but it's mukaf l'dira. It's an area yosem beis asaim shalov mukaf l'dira. So the rabbanon are treated like a karmelis. So where they get the shir yosem beis asaim? They got it from the chatzar mishkan. The chatzar mishkan is 100 by 50. So if you have a mokaim bigger than the Chatzar HaMishkan, larger than 5,000 square amas, and is level kafladira, some of the Rabbana, we treat it like karmelis. How did they borrow a shear from the Mishkan? How did they apply it over there? It's very strange. So the Pashtus is like this. Places when all of Yishanim are bothered with Akasha, every continent in the world should be a Rishus HaYochid. What's a Rishus HaYochid for Shabbos purposes? A mokum has to be a minimum of dalal adal tfochim, not dalal adal, dalal adal tfochim. This is a tefa. Dalal tfochim is alam sa mokum. Dalal adal is a different shir. You only chayba vizuza. It has dalal adal adal, that's a beis dira. In order to be called a mokum, it has to be dalal adal tfochim. So if you have a mokum, dalal adal tfochim, mukav mechitza, that's called the Rishus HaYochid. So what's the definition of a mechitza? a wall. There's 10 tefachim from the wall that goes straight. So Tosfos points out, when you walk on the beach at the edge of any continent, there's always, if you walk deep enough into the river, into the ocean, there's going to be what we call a continental shelf. You got to walk. The water's going to be way over your head. But if you walk far enough, there's going to be a sudden drop, and there's going to be more than 10 tefachim straight like this. Every, let's say, North America, all of North America is surrounded with a continental shelf, and maybe far into the ocean. So Minatora, Mefitza, that's under the surface of the water, is also good Mefitza, even though none of it protrudes above the water. With the Rabbanon, you can't realize such a Mefitza unless at least the Tefach protrudes above the water. But Minatora, the Mefitza that's under the water, is also good. So they're bothered with Akasha. Every continent in the world should be Rishu Sayach, because you got to walk into the ocean. So you reach the continent, the shelf is going to be a sudden drop 10 tefachim. And it surrounds every continent like that. So every continent in the world should be a Rishu Sayachid Manatara. So how do you ever have a Rishu Saram? All the Rishonim work on that question. So the Tosfos is a little unclear. Tosfos and the Chazon Ish explained what Tosfos said. After the Chazon Ish passed away, then they printed the Tosfei HaRosh. And the Tosfei HaRosh says exactly what the Chazon Ish guessed that Tosfos meant. Tosfos says that if you have a few factors combined together, then the Mechitza doesn't count. He says the continental shelf is Bidei Shamai. It's not a Mechitza Bidei Adam. The area of the continent is Yosef Nebeis HaSayim, and the continental shelf under the water does not prevent the boats from traveling from one side of the Mechitza to the other. All idea of a Mechitza, be Avarishu Sayochid. Let's say this building have walls. So if the people are walking, they're going to walk into a wall. They're going to bump. They can't go any further. They're going to be inside. You can't walk outside. Yeah, mechitzas prevents the flow of traffic. So you say, also rabbi mevavat ben mechitzas. So you have the combination of all of these three together. It's yosem beis asayim, more than 100 by 50. Bidei shamayim, it's not bidei yodem, bidei shamayim. And it doesn't prevent the flow of the ships. The ships can go from one side to the other. The mechitzas is so low in the water that there's enough room for boats to go from one side to the other. It doesn't prevent the flow of traffic. You have the combination of all of these three factors together. That doesn't have a din of a mechitza. And therefore, every continent, none of the continents have a din of a shusayach, unless you got to put up walls around it. So it's interesting. This is learned out from the Chotzan Mishkan. This year, 100 by 50. It's learned out from the Chotzan Mishkan. When you have all the factors all combined together, then it doesn't have a din of a Rishu Sarab. And those have a dinner of a Mechitza. And it may won't be a Rishu Sarab. What was on top of the Aron, in the Aron were the Luchas. On top of the Aron was the Kaporis. And on top of the Kaporis, there were the two Kruvim. Kruvim and Mikotzim is that. Kruvim and Mikotzim is that. The two Kruvim. What do the two Kruvim represent? That the Pasuk Divrei Hayomim describes Kemar Ish. Is like a husband hugs his wife. Mar is to hug. Like a husband hugs his wife. It's supposed to represent the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the Jewish people. That the Kruvim were baby-faced. Kiravya, Igmar says, like baby-faced. One was like a zoch, one was like an akeva. The one was like a little boy hugging a little girl. That's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the little boy hugging, but Esau is a little girl. It's interesting. We recite when a couple gets married, so under the chuppah, we recite the Birchas Eris right before the chasm gives the ring to the kala. So we say, Asher Kedoshanu b'mitzvah yisav v'tzivonu alfa arayas. Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed us that we shouldn't marry people who are too closely related. You're not allowed to marry your mother, your sister-in-law, a whole bunch of your daughter-in-law, a whole bunch of arayas. So the Rosh raises a question at the beginning of Ksubas. The Gemara has a text of the Birchas Eris, and let's say a person is about to eat the kosher food. Does he say a bracha? You don't say a bracha before you're about to avoid violation of an avera. A person's going to shave with an electric shaver. You're going to say a bracha. You only say a bracha when you're about to fulfill a mitzvah saseh. You're about to do something to avoid violation of an avera. No brachas were instituted. So why do you say over here? What do you put all the Yisurim there for? That's what the Rosh says. So the Rosh says that indicates that it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's a Birchas Shevach B'Hodoyah. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave the Jewish people a different type of marriage. Marriage is an institution that the Ummah Salem have as well. They have a concept of marriage, they have a concept of an Eishes Ish, but by the Jewish people, it's a different kind of issues. They also have a list of prohibited relatives that they're not allowed to marry, but our list is longer, and part of it is because we have relatives or related by marriage. The relatives related by marriage, the going don't have, because the Ishes of B'nai Noach is a different kind of an Ishes. Weaker issues. The Jewish people have Erisin and Nisuin. So we say, also Lanus Arus and Hito Lanus Anasuas. The Ummah Salem don't have Erisin and Nisuin. They only have one form of, we have Kesef, Shtar, Bia. And the Chachamim prohibited being with Kaddish with Bia. By Ummah Salem, the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk Bulas, Baal Yesh Lahem Nichol Nisuluchot Bula Nibala Ein Lahem. They don't have Erisin. They only have Nisuin. They only have Kedusha Bia. They don't have Kedusha Kesef or Kedusha Shtar. So the Rosh says that the Birchas Erisin is really a Birchas Shevach V'Hoidoya. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave us the institution of a Jewish marriage as opposed to a non-Jewish marriage. And the difference is that the Arayas are a little bit different and that we have Erisin and Esuin. Those are the differences. So they quote from the Chasam Sefer on the first day of Yisrael B'Sivonu al Arayas. Chasam Sefer and Ed Shuvah has this a funny interpretation that the Pasuk in Devar Yomim says that the kruv mor kemar ish b'leviyasa like a husband's wife, that would say, "Vano al arayis," means our Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed us a mitzvah, we should hug our wives. Let's chat to the bracha. But Vano al arayis. Arayis does mean gili arayis. It means mar ish b'leviyasa. Very funny pshat. Very funny pshat. Pashto says it doesn't mean that. The Gemara says that there's a steer between Gemara and Baba Basra. There was a tzaddik's. So the Gemara Baba Basra says that the kruvim are sometimes described in Tanakh facing each other, and sometimes they're facing Pneim Labayis. Pneim Zelazet, Pneim Labayis. Which was it? Opposite direction. Was it Pneim Labayis and Pneim facing each other? So the Gemara says that there was a miracle with the kruvim. When he saw those Mitzvah Shalokim, so the kruvim are facing each other, hugging each other, to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Jewish people. And when we're doing Averis, then they groove my back to back. They're not looking at each other. So there's an Agadat in Yuma. The Gemara says at the time of Korban Bayis, I think it's in Yuma. And they got it then. Maybe it's in Hanzokin. I got it ready. The Gemara says when the Babylonian armies, when the Babylonian general came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they were going to destroy the whole Beis HaMikdash, used the Bayis Rishon. They came in and he sees the crew hugging each other. So he said, that's what this religion is all about. It has to do with sex, with men and women hugging each other. They always thought that the Jewish religion had nothing. He was making fun of the Jewish religion. Why they have kruvim hugging each other. So the Rishonim ask a question over there. The kruvim are facing each other b'zman she'osim etzonu shel mokum. When they're not osim etzonu shel mokum, then they're p'neim labayis, and they're not facing each other. So how can it be that at the time of Churban HaBayis, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because the Jewish people were not living up to the mitzvahs in the Torah. So how come the kruvim were hugging each other? It should have been facing the bayis. Shouldn't have been facing each other. So the Ritva talks about that. So he has one suggestion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the Ummah Salem to see that he's angry at the Jewish people. So that's why when the general of the Goyish of the Babylonian army came in, he didn't want him to see that he's angry at B'nai Yisrael, so he had the kruvim hugging each other. Then he has another suggestion, Pikabola, strange, another suggestion. The thing is that if the husband is going to take a business trip, he's going to be away for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, a long time, then the Gemara says, Chayv Livket Es Ishto, has to be with his wife before he leaves, to show that he still loves, even though he's got to be away for a long time for business, still loves his wife. So the Baruch Shalom was having the Goyim destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and he's got to be away from the Jewish people. So going to be separated for a long, long time. Chum took 70 years till the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt. And then the kruv were not there anymore. And then the Bayis Sheni, the kruv were not there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt he had to have the kruvim hugging each other So the Mekubalim talk a lot about that. Well, what was that all about? The Torah describes the menorah. The menorah had to have seven kanim. So the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos HaMelachos has a diagram what the menorah looked like. So he has the six kanim on the side. The kanash, the middle kana is straight, and the six on the side are drawn as straight lines. If you go to the Arch of Titus in Rome, they claim that they took the menorah with them to the Vatican. They claim that they have the menorah there. So they have a picture of menorah the way we usually draw it, with a curved line, not with straight lines like this. So the Pashtus is that the printers, when they printed the Rambam's diagram of the menorah, they didn't have anything to make curved lines, so they make straight lines. That's the Pashtus that people always assume, that the diagram on the Arch of Titus is correct. The diagram on the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnayos is a mistake. And the last Lubavitcher Rebbe insisted not so. The last Lubavitcher Rebbe insisted that it was like this, and the Arch of Titus is not correct. So now Lubavitch, wherever they go, they make their Chabad houses. So their symbol is the menorah. The symbol is the menorah, the way the Lubavitcher Rebbe said. Should be straight line. Instead of being curved, should be straight. The Mizbeach had a chuta sikra, the Gemara says. Exactly, sikra is red. Sikra is red. But there was a red line in the middle of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was 10 amas tall. It was 9 amas tall, and then each one of the four corners, there was a ama, lama, lama. There was a there was a keren. So the top of the keren was another ama. So there was 10 amas at the top of the keren. So at the height of 5 amas, there was a red line around it. The sum of the zrikas hadam that is zorik on the mizbeach. Some of the kabbalas need zrika lamayla michut ha-sikra. Some needs zrika lamata mizlut ha-sikra. So let's say from korbanos of the hema. So the only korban that has a zrika lamayla michut ha-sikra is the chatos. You do the zrika of the chatos on four corners on the upper half, above the chut ha-sikra. All the other korbanos have the zrika lamata michut ha-sikra. And if it's a korban oif, the only two korbanos you have is oif l'soif and chatos oif. There it's the reverse. The chatos oif, you do the zrika, the mitzui, do the mitzui, lemata michut ha-sikra, and other soif is done lemaila. It's all based on psukim. What is this? Lemaila michut ha-sikra, lemata michut ha-sikra. The quote from Avelva the Soloveitchik, that the whole upper half of the mizbeach is called keren, the whole lower half of the mizbeach is called yisoid. The Pashtus says the keren is only the block, the four blocks on top. Each block was amma, alama, alama, was a cube. That's the keren. So he says, no, the whole upper part above the chut ha-sikra is called keren. And on the bottom, the yisoid ha-mizbeach was that it protruded in the baisheni. The bottom layer was 32 amas by 32 amas. Then it went up, I think, an amma, then it went indented. So that's called the yisoid. The bottom, that was 32 by 32, was one amma tall. So that's where the Brisker Rebbe said, no, he thinks everything below the chut ha-sikra is called yisoid. Everything above the chut ha-sikra is called keren. Then we have in this week's shedra, we have the mitzvah to put the lechem aponim on the shulchan. They had to make a shulchan to put lechem aponim. Lechem aponim was baked on Friday. You're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos to bake it. They put it on the shulchan on Shabbos morning. It sat there for a whole week, out of the freezer, out of the refrigerator. Should have become stale. So the Tanakh says a miracle occurred. And when they took it off of the shulchan at the end of the week, next Shabbos morning, it was lechem cham ki yom hilot. It was still warm, like the day that they took it out from the oven. It was warm and it wasn't stale. It wasn't hard like a rock. So why is it called lechem haponim? So the Gemara says in Menachos that it had to be baked with a specific shape. What's the specific shape? So usually when they go to the store to buy challahs for Shabbos, so they have two kinds of Shabbos, two kinds of challahs. So the Zohar says that the challahs that you eat on Shabbos are supposed to be zeichel lechem haponim, that the Kohanim would take off, it would sit on the shulchan all week long, they'd take it off, and Shabbos morning put it on, and the lechem haponim, the Kohanim had to finish eating up all the lechem haponim, 12 lechem haponim on the same day. I had to finish it on the same day. It was like a korban mincha. So there were two shapes that the Gemara talks about. One opinion is that it's kistrina rekedis, like a canoe that had two points in the two ends. That's the chalas that they sell in the store, that it twisted chalas, that they braided. So two points, like a canoe. The other opinion is no, it's like keteva prutza, like a trunk, like a suitcase. So those are the two kinds of challahs that they sell in the store for Shabbos. Some of them are like sectional challahs, rectangular shape, and the others are like a canoe that has two points and two ends. On Yontif, eating the challahs has nothing to do with the lechem upon him. So that's why in Yontif, many always was that they made round challahs. Yeah, which is the correct form? The Gemara has two opinions. What shape did the challahs have? Lechem upon it. It had to be matzah. They couldn't be chametz. It had to be matzah. They had to be careful not to let it rise too long. It shouldn't become chametz, yeah. So which was the correct shape? So the Chazon Ish writes, either is good. Either way is good. So that's why we have two, the minigas, you have two different kinds of challahs. For Shabbos and for Yom Tov, you have a different kind, round challahs for Yom Tov. The Zohar has a line that because there were 12 lechem upon him, two piles of six each, on top of the next to each one was some scribes laid in them. So the Zohar says because there were 12, that's why on Shabbos you should have 12 lechem, you should have 12 challahs. The Gemara talks about lechem mishnah, you have two challahs, zecha lemon. So by many chassidim, they followed the Zohar. So they either have a challah that has 12 little challahs, you can take them apart. So you can take it apart. See, the shirat is the look. They have a challah that has 12 little challahs in it. You can rip them easily apart. You don't have to cut it with a knife. You can rip it apart. Or they'll have two challahs and they'll have another 10 on the table. So they have 12. So the Milne Goyen thought that whatever the chassidim do is all a mistake. So he said that there is no such thing. The Gemara doesn't say anything about 12 challahs. He says, no, you have lechem mishnah on Friday night and Shabbos morning and shalosh udas. You have two, two, and two. You have six challahs. And then he holds la locha like the Rashba and Brochas, that when you cut the lechem mishnah on Shabbos, you have to cut both challahs. If you only cut one of the challahs, the one, the challah that you didn't cut, is if it's still in the store. It will not be starved to the lechem mishnah. That you have six challahs and you cut them all in half, then you have 12 chatzoim. So he said that it's a misprint in the Zohar. And when they wrote that it should be 12 challahs on the table, they meant all together, all the three meals. You have two, two, and two, and you cut both by each meal, like the Rashba, then you're going to have 12 chatzoim. But not that you need 12 challahs. It's a summit in Yonim of the parashat of the waters on peace, my understanding. See? Yeah, then the menorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu he should construct the menorah, kasher ha-reisa bahor. Oreva say to Sabni, sam asher atom ha-re bahor. And it says that he made a kamar asher ha-reisa bahor. That'll make the menorah. So the Gemara Merocha said the whole list of things, every time it says zeh, in the Chumash, it means herabiyetz, but something you can point to. Like, ha-chodesh hazeh lochem. So the Gemara in Masechet Barshana understands Kadosh Baruch Hu showed the Levana to Moshe Rabbeinu on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. He said, HaChodesh HaZeh, do you see the moon the way it is now, that size moon? When you have Edom and they see the moon, that's when Bezin should declare that it's Rosh Chodesh. So the word Zeh means he demonstrated. Zeh Kelev Yad Reu, and the Shiris HaYam and Az Yashir. So the Gemara says that it was a Gilu Shechina. Rosh HaShib Chal HaYam HaShe Roi Yechazgel Ben Guzi, the Maise Merkova. The Rama, of course, said, Rosa Shivcha Layam. The Rama writes, Rosa Ishtu Shalachas Me'en. Shivcha Layam means the Jewish women who just were released from slavery. That's Shivcha Layam. Shivcha means the Noshin. The women, usually not involved in these kind of things of Nebuah, the women had the Gilu Shechina they saw. Because they said, Zekelemem, they saw some divine light. There was a Gilu Shechina on the occasion. Then it says, Zeh Maaseh HaMenorah, that's not today said, that's later. Zeh Maaseh HaMenorah, that means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu what the menorah is supposed to look like. Then when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, which are the kosher animals, which are the non-kosher animals, so the Gemara has a tradition. Zeh Lachem HaTomi, Basheret HaSheret HaLoris. Moshe Rabbeinu picked up each animal, he said, Zelachematam, he demonstrated to them. Where else does it say by Martin Sashekel? Also, it says, Zayid don't call her Ibrahim Kudim, says the word Zed. Then it says,
what him did to Manoah really made up a talent?
Yeah, but he had to make the menorah corresponding to the vision that Moshe Rabbeinu had in Har Sinai.
And then it was instructed by himself.
Yeah, but Moshe Rabbeinu gave him all the instructions how to do it. And where else does it say that was Elohim Adami? Then it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, when Risa Sachara, Yufane Leiro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you look at me from behind, so you see how Keshish Shal Tvil and Harold Adam Moshe had been seen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Keshish Shal Tvil, which is in the back of the Shalosh. So why did the Rabban Shalom show all of these? So Rabbi Elbala Soloveitchik has a comment on everything. Why didn't he just describe what it's supposed to be? What do you have to demonstrate? He says, over here, the thing depends on what it looks like. So he said, there's a Rambam in Hilchas Macholas Asuras. The Rambam has, if you eat the Sheretz Ha'ov, if you eat a bird that doesn't have Simani Tahara, so you get Malkus. If you eat a Sheretz Ha'oritz, you get Malkus. You eat a Sheretz Ha'mayim. If you eat a fish that doesn't have Stapa V'Kaskeses, you get Malkus. What if you have... So the Rambam holds, you never get twice Malkus, even if the lav is repeated a few times on the Chumash. If it's Kevel lav, the exact same lav appears twice, you never get Malkus twice. Rashi, Tosus, and the Ramban, and the Goyim, they all disagree. The Gemara talks, they all interpret the Gemara, you add up how many times the Chumash repeats the lav, that's how many times you get Malkus. That's why Tosus has a kasha on the first daf in Chulin, when a person makes Tmura, he's in violation of two lavim, lo yach lifen of lo yom ha'roseh. The Tosis works on the kasha. Why doesn't everyone who violates Temura, why doesn't he get twice Malkus? Why does he say Sovigus or Abayim? He only gets once Malkus. He gets twice Malkus because there are two lavim, lo yach lifen of lo yom ha'roseh. According to the Rambam, there's no kasha. When you have a kefil ha-mitzvah, a kefil ha-lav, you don't get twice Malkus. Only count that there's one lav. So the Rambam learns that Gemara. The Gemara says, ochel putisa lo ga'arba. The mala like chomesh tsira lo kishesh. There's certain non-kosher animals that you get five times malchus, six times malchus. One treif animal. Why is that? So all the Rishon Rashi Tosfos and the Ramban and the Goyin, and they all say depends how many times the Torah repeats the prohibition. If it's repeated four times, you get four times malchus. The Rambam says there is no such thing. So the Rambam says there's a lav on sheretz hamayim. There's a lav on sheretz ha'oif. There's a lav on sheretz ha'oritz. So if the animal swims and it flies and it crawls on the dry land, then it's all three. Then the sheretz ha'orif, sheretz ha'mayim, and sheretz ha'ov, you get three times malchus. So the writer makes fun of the Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuras, and he calls the Rambam a collector. I'm asif hazet. Rambam did a fantastic job. He collected all the Gemara's Bavli, Rishalmi, Sifros, Efrat, and Chilta, put everything all together. Fantastic job. So the writer is making fun of the Ram, says, I'm a asaif hazeh, asab dvorim she'enam. He collected animals that don't exist. There is no such animal that it swims and it flies and it crawls on the dry land. The writer said, there is such animal. Nah, it looks like it's flying. It doesn't really fly. What do you mean it doesn't? So the Ramam says, that animal has all three. So the Pashta says, the writer holds, you have to ask the scientists in this field. Is this basically a bird? Is it basically a sea animal? Or is it basically an animal from the dry land? If it's Sheretz Ha'aretz, then you don't call it a Sheretz Ha'aretz. Sheretz Ha'maim is not called a Sheretz Ha'aretz. They're three different things. The Rambam says it doesn't depend on biologically what category it belongs to. It depends on what it looks like. But that's why Moshe Rabbeinu picks up the animal. He says, Zelachem Atami. See what it looks like? It looks like it flies, then it has a din of Sheretz Ha'aretz. Looks like it crawls on the ground. Even though it doesn't live on the ground, it really lives in the water, then it's a sheretz ha'aretz. And if it spends a little, even though it's basically sheretz, but if it spends a little time swimming in the river, then it's a sheretz ha'mayim also. That's what he said. The Rambam shita is that it depends on what it looks like. That's why zelachem atomit. And that was what the difficulty was in making the menorah. The Gemara says, Rashi HaChumash quotes, that Moshe Rabbeinu found it difficult to make the menorah. He didn't know how to do it. So he threw the gold into an oven, a melting thing, And miraculously, the menorah made itself. So that was so difficult making the menorah. The Hashmonai made a menorah years later. They didn't have a menorah. They knew what it said in the Chumash. What's up with that? So he said, the din l'dora says that you have to make a menorah with gevim, kaftorim, and prochim. If you're making from gold, it has to have all of these. If you make from any other metal, it doesn't have to have all the gevim, kaftorim, and prochim. So the din is, if you have gold, you make it with all this. But that has to be kamar asher haresabot. That was only a rashah for the Mishkan in the Midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu had to make it kamar. He was able to make it with gevim, kaftorim, and prochim, but it didn't correspond to the image that he saw. Menorah Shaleish, Erel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, it didn't correspond. So that's why Niskasha Moshe Basiyas HaMenorah. And the same thing by the Kesha Shel Tefillin. Rashi Shita is that the Gemara says Kesha Shel Tefillin Halacha Moshe Misinai. So Rashi learns that you have to have a Kesha Yud on the Shel Yad, you have to have a Kesha Dalet on the Shel Rosh. Tosis argues with Rashi. And they said, no, the kesher is a din deraisa that should look like a yud and a dal. That's only with the rabba. They prove from a gemara like that. So to defend Rashi, Rav Velbel of Soloveitchik has in a sefer. That's how Rav Soloveitchik told us also. He learned it as children. He said the same shot. That Rashi shita is that it has to be a kesher b'tzuras yud, a kesher b'tzuras dal. It's not a dal, it's not a yud. It has to be a kesher that should look like a dal, look like a yud. So that's why the Rabban Shalom showed Moshe Rabbeinu what it should look like. They just tell him, make a dalet on the show, make a dalet that then would require should be a nice dalet. It's a difference. Rashi Holt says, Rashi the Rambam says like that also. It should be a kesha b'tzuras dalet, as opposed to actually being a dalet. And the others also, each one of the other dinin. By the Maftal Shekel, the din is Maftal Shekel, you're not Yotzi. If you give Shabbat Kesef, you have to give Dafke Kesef. Mara says there are three dinin where Shabbat Kesef is Latke Kesef. When you get married, when you do a kiddusha kesef, you give a ring. Shabbat kesef, dina kesef. When you owe money, you can pay shabbat kesef also. But there are three dinim where you need dafke kesef. So one of the dinim is only the rabbanon. When you buy your lasriya, you have to buy kesef. That's only the rabbanon, the Yerushalmi says. But the other two, we assume are the raisins. Pidyon maisa sheni, need kesef sheyesh olav surim. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu, the matbeya, the maftas hashekel, zeyit no kaloi velabkudim. Masashekli need dafke kesef, and shabbat kesef is no good. So you showed him the matbeya. It has to look like a matbeya. Shabbat kesef is not acceptable. And then the Levana also, Rabbala has some kind of a din. He quotes the Mefarish on the side of the Rambam, Milchitz Kiddush HaChodesh, instead of having the kesef Mishnah, the Magen Mishnah, they have a Mefarish there printed on the side. And he has some kind of a din in Kiddush HaChodesh al-Pi Ariya. It depends when you're able to see the Levana. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu said, HaKodesh HaZelochem, when you see the Levana at this size, then you're able to declare that it should be Rosh Chodesh. The kid said, that's what he said. Every time it says in the Chumash, and the Gemara understands it to mean that HaKodesh Baruch Hu showed something to Moshe Rabbeinu, or that Moshe Rabbeinu showed something to Bnei Yisrael. So it's a din. What it looks like. Is that a din? What it should actually be? Din, what it has to look like. At the end of the Sedra, you have the din of the one Mizbeach, the other Mizbeach is ladle, and next Sedra. So the Mizbeach has to be square, and it doesn't have any steps. That's how the archaeologists in Eretz Yisrael, when they found an altar, they knew whether it's a Jewish altar, La Shamayim, or an altar, La Avodah Zarah. If it was round, then it was for Avodah Zarah. And the altars for Avodah Zarah would have steps leading up. We have a din, and Salab Malas al Mizbechi, you have to have a rim. Not allowed to have steps. And the Mizbech should not be round, has to be square. And the third way that they could tell whether it's a Jewish Mizbech, La Shamayim, or La Vidazara, they found bones from thousands of years ago. So those where they found bones from a Bein Matmeya, those were Mizbechas for La Vidazara. The Mizbechas that were La Shamayim, they never found any bones from Bein Matmeya. They found in the Mizbeach that Yeshua ben Nun built on Har Evel. The fellow who found it passed away already a couple of years ago. So he, one of his students, been giving us the tour. So he said he was a secular archaeologist. The Rebbe was a secular archaeologist. He said he never believed anything. He was brought up to not believe anything in Tanakh. He never believed anything in Tanakh, but then he couldn't help himself. He found the Mizbeach that Yeshua ben Nun built on Har Evo. Gigantic Mizbeach, bigger than this room. Gigantic Shetach in Har Evo. And it was rectangular shape. I don't know if it's a square. It wasn't round. And there were no steps going up. And they only found bones from a Behemoth, but they found bones from a Chaya also. So on a real Mizbeach and the Beis Hamikdash, you're not allowed to be Makra of Chayas. But over here, apparently, had the din like a bummer. It wasn't the real Mizbeach. So they were Makra, but there were no Behemoth Timaeus there. That's usually the similar Dabba, that it's a Mizbeach for a Zara. If it's round and has steps or has bones from it, Behemoth Meyer, then be a do. It's not Lashamayim, it's Lavod Zarah.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.